On a hill, overlooking the twinkling lights of a city at night, spotlights illuminate chunky golden letters and numerals stacked on a raised plinth. 20th Century Fox, a news corporation company. Fox 2000 Pictures presents a Wendy Fineman production, Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, The Devil Wears Prada. Dark-haired Andy Sachs is getting ready for an interview. She wipes mist off her bathroom mirror and brushes her teeth. Elsewhere in New York City, some very fashionable ladies are also getting dressed. Her face is a map of the world, is a map of the world. You can see she's a beautiful girl, she's a beautiful girl. The model-type women pull on expensive-looking designer underwear. Andy roots through a jumble drawer and pulls out a serviceable pair of white pants. One of the women, a fashionable blonde, selects a jacket from her extensive walk-in wardrobe. Another lady carefully coordinates her brown top with just the right skirt. Then the fashionable ladies put on their designer makeup, working to achieve a flawless finish. In contrast, pretty Andy is pulled on a comfortable-looking mauve jumper over a white shirt and trousers and dabs on a bit of lip gloss. The fashionable ladies make their jewellery selections while Andy consults her appointment book. Today's date has Elias Clark, Human Resources, written underneath it. Andy flicks through some political articles she wrote for the university newspaper. The well-dressed ladies pull on their high-heeled shoes and boots. Andy kisses scruffy boyfriend Nate goodbye as he sits reading in bed.
Good luck.
The fashionable ladies scoop up their designer phones and bags and leave their swanky uptown apartments. Unfashionable Andy, who's slender and has long dark hair, plods out of her downtown apartment followed by a gaggle of young schoolchildren out on a trip. The model type measures out a small amount of cereal and adds some nuts to her breakfast. Andy stops at a bakery and walks down the street, unashamedly munching on an onion bagel. The fashionable ladies flag down taxicabs and get into chauffeur-driven cars, whilst Andy heads cheerfully down into the subway in her rather shapeless brown coat and clumpy black heels. Andy makes her way down a busy city street as smartly dressed business people dash this way and that. Skyscrapers loom overhead on either side of the street. She arrives at a tall building housing Elias Clark Publications and gazes up at its impressive facade. Clutching her battered brown leather briefcase, she takes a deep breath, then walks into the marble floored reception hall and up to the desk. Andy comes out of the lift and has to wait for a clothes rail to be wheeled past before she can approach the reception desk for Runway magazine. An elegant redhead is waiting.
Hi, I have an appointment with Emily Charlton.
Andrea Sachs?
Yes?
Great. Human resources certainly has an odd sense of humour. Follow me.
Andy follows Emily.
Okay, so I was Miranda's second assistant, but her first assistant recently got promoted, and so now I'm the first.
Oh, and you're replacing yourself.
Well, I am trying. Miranda sacked the last two girls after only a few weeks. We need to find someone who can survive here, do you understand?
Yeah, of course. Who's Miranda?
Oh, my God, I will pretend you did not just ask me that. She's the editor-in-chief of Runway, not to mention a legend. You work a year for her, and you can get a job at any magazine you want. A million girls would kill for this job.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity. I'd love to be considered.
Andrea, Runway is a fashion magazine, so an interest in fashion is crucial.
What makes you think I'm not interested in fashion?
Emily's BlackBerry.
Oh, my God. No!
What's wrong?
Emily springs into action as a sleek silver car pulls up outside.
She's on her way. Tell everyone.
She's not supposed to be here until 9.
Her driver just text messaged and her facialist ruptured a disc. God, these people.
Andy.
That I can't even talk about.
Nigel.
All right, everyone, gird your loins.
Did someone eat an onion bagel?
Creative director Nigel leaves and Andy checks her onion breath. chauffeur-driven car pulls up outside the building and chic, grey-haired editor-in-chief Miranda Priestley gets out, carrying a designer handbag and a mock-up of the magazine. The runway offices have been thrown into chaos by her imminent arrival, with everyone scurrying around making last-minute preparations. Emily dashes into Miranda's office, puts a glass down on her desk and fills it with mineral water. Andy watches a member of the editorial staff quickly binning her breakfast and another changing her shoes. Andy watches the frenzied activity with mild amusement. A woman uses a webcam mirror feature on her computer to touch up her makeup. Emily arranges a pile of magazines on Miranda's desk before quickly tidying up her own. Miranda strides through the foyer and approaches a lift. A member of the runway staff quickly vacates it so that Miranda can have the lift all to herself.
Sorry, Miranda.
The staff member waits for another lift. Miranda's lift opens on the runway floor and she pulls off her designer shades. Emily's running to meet her.
Move it!
I don't understand why it's so difficult to confirm an appointment.
No, I'm so sorry, Miranda. I actually did confirm last
night. The details of your incompetence do not interest me. Tell Simone I'm not going to prove that girl that she sent me for the Brazilian layout. I asked for clean, athletic, smiling. She sent me dirty, tired, and paunchy. An RSVP, yes, the Michael Kors party. I want the driver to drop me off at 9:30 and pick me up at 9:45 sharp. Then call Natalie at Gloria's Foods and tell her no for the 40th time. No, I don't want tacos. I want torts filled with warm rhubarb compote. And then call my ex-husband and remind him that parent-teacher conference is at Daltoner tonight, and then call my husband. Ask him to please meet me for dinner at that place I went to with Massimo.
Also, tell Richard I saw all the pictures that he sent for that feature on the female paratroopers, and they're all so deeply unattractive. Is it impossible to find a lovely, slender female paratrooper?
No.
Am I reaching for the stars here?
No.
Not really. Also, I need to see all the things that Nigel has pulled for Gwyneth's second cover try. I wonder if she's lost any of that weight yet. Who is that?
Nobody. Well, Human Resources sent her up about the new assistant job, and I was sort of pre-interviewing her for you, but she's hopeless and totally
wrong.
Well,
clearly, I'm going to have to do that myself, because the last two you sent me were completely inadequate, so sent her in. That's all.
Right.
Emily fetches Andy, who's holding her resume.
She wants to see you.
Oh, yes. Move!
Emily snatches Andy's briefcase.
This is foul. Don't let her see
it. Andy walks nervously into the bright, airy office, which has black and white framed photos on the wall.
Who are you?
My name is Andy Sachs. I recently graduated from Northwestern University.
And what are you doing here?
Well, I think I could do a good job as your assistant. And, yeah, I came to New York to be a journalist and sent letters out everywhere and then finally got a call from Elias Clark and met with Sherry up at Human Resources and basically it's this or Auto Universe.
So you don't read Runway?
No.
And before today you had never heard of me?
No.
And you have no style or sense of fashion?
Well, I think that depends on what you're...
No. That wasn't a question.
Miranda takes in Andy's attire.
I was editor-in-chief of the Daily Northwestern. I also won a national competition for college journalists with my series on the Janitors Union, which exposed the exploitation of...
Miranda's reading a magazine. Andy frowns and heads for the door, then turns back.
Okay. You're right. I don't fit in here. I am not skinny or glamorous, and I don't know that much about fashion, but I'm smart. I learn fast, and I will work
very
hard.
I've got the exclusive on the Cavalli for Gwyneth, but the problem is, with that huge feathered headdress that she's wearing, she looks like she's working the main stage at the Golden Nugget.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time.
Who is that sad little person? Are we doing a before and after piece I don't know about?
Miranda turns her attention to black-clad Nigel. Andy hands her pass in at the reception desk on the ground floor and is heading for the doors when Emily appears.
Andrea!
She beckons. Andy's dining with Nate and two mates.
Wait, you got a job at a fashion magazine?
Mm-hmm.
What is it, a phone interview?
Wow. Okay, sure.
Miranda Priestly is famous for being unpredictable.
Okay, Doug, how is it that you know who she is and I didn't?
I'm actually a girl.
Oh, that would explain so much.
Look, seriously, Miranda Priestly is a huge deal. I bet a million girls would kill for that job.
Yeah, great. Thing is, I'm not one of them.
Well, look, you gotta start somewhere, right? I mean, look at this dump Nate works in. I mean, come on. Paper napkins? Hello?
Yeah, and Lily, she works at that gallery doing, you know... Oh, I'm sorry. What exactly is it that you do, anyway?
Lucky for me, I already have my dream job.
Your corporate research analyst.
Oh, you're right. My job sucks. It sucks. It's boring.
All right, breathe.
I'm trying.
Here, take a drink.
I will have a drink.
You know what? I'm going to propose a toast.
Okay.
To jobs that pay the rent.
To jobs that pay the rent.
Baby, you should see the way these girls are runway dressed. I don't have a thing to wear to work.
Come on, you're going to be answering phones and getting coffee. You need a ball gown for that?
I think I might.
Well, I happen to think you look great always.
Aww, I think you're full of it.
Hey, come on. Let's go home. I can think of something we can do that doesn't require any clothing.
Really?
Mm.
Andy's in bed when her phone goes at 6:15.
Hello? Andrea, Miranda decided to kill the autumn jacket story for September, and she is pulling up the Sedona shoe from October. You need to come into the office right this second, and you pick up her coffee order on the way.
Now
get a pen and write this down. I want one no foam skimmed latte with an extra shot and three drip coffees with room for milk. Searing hot, and I mean hot.
Andy's hurrying down the street with four coffees.
Hello? Where are you? Oh, I'm almost there. Yeah. Shit.
Two women wheel a clothes rail into Miranda's office. She comes out.
Is there some reason that my coffee isn't here? Has she died or something?
No.
Emily's calling Andy when she walks in.
No, bloody tongue.
I hope you know that this is a very difficult job, mm-hmm. for which you are totally wrong. And if you mess up, my head is on a chopping block. Now hang that up. Don't just fling it anywhere.
Andy watches Emily carry the coffees into Miranda's office, then hangs up her coat and hurries to her desk, which faces Emily's. Andy's wearing a bright blue jumper.
Okay. First of all, you and I answer the phones. The phone must be answered every single time it rings. Calls roll to voicemail and she gets very upset. If I'm not here... Andrea, you are chained to that desk.
Well, what if I need to...
What? No. One time an assistant left the desk because, you know, she sliced her hand open with a letter opener and Miranda missed Lagerfeld just before he boarded a 17-hour flight to Australia. She now works at TV Guide.
Man the desk at all times, got it.
Miranda Priestly's office? No, she's not available. Who is...
Emily inputs a message.
Yes, I will tell her you called. Yet again. Right, remember you and I have totally different jobs. I mean, you get coffee. And you run errands, yet I'm in charge of her schedule, her appointments and her expenses. And, most importantly, I get to go with her to Paris for Fashion Week in the fall. I get to wear couture, I go to all the shows and all the parties, I meet all of the designers, it's divine. Okay, now stay here. I'm going to the art department to give them the book. This is the book. Now, it is a mock-up of everything in the current issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we deliver it to Miranda's apartment every night, and she returns... Don't touch it. She returns it to us in the morning with her notes. Now... Second assistant is supposed to do this, but Miranda is very private, and she does not like strangers in her house, so until she decides that you're not a total psycho, I get the lovely task of waiting around for the book.
Oh, Emily, what do I deal with it? Hello, Mrs. Priestly's office. That's what I meant, Miranda Priestly's office. You know, she's in a meeting. Can I please take a message? Uh-huh. Okay, can you please spell Gabbana? Hello?
Guess not.
I guessed an 8.5.
Wow, that's very nice of you, but I don't think I need these. Miranda hired me. She knows what I look like.
Do you?
Nigel has given Andy black stilettos.
Emily. Emily.
She means you.
Andy hurries in.
Which is cut on the bias and so
what
we...
That's not what I asked you. I couldn't have been clearer. There you are, Emily. How many times do I have to scream your name?
Actually, it's Andy.
Miranda stiffens.
My name is Andy. Andrea, but everybody calls me Andy.
I need 10 or 15 skirts from Calvin Klein.
Okay, what kind of skirts do you...
Please bore someone else with your questions. And make sure we have Pier 59 at 8 a.m. tomorrow. And remind Jocelyn I need to see a few of those satchels that Mark is doing in the pony. And then tell Simone I'll take Jackie if Maggie isn't available. Did de Marchelier confirm?
De
Marchelier? Did he get him on the phone?
Okay.
And Emily?
Yes?
Miranda's eyes travel down Andy's body, taking in her plaid skirt, black tights, and fixing on her sensible black flat shoes.
That's all. It's just the cavalier disregard for clear.
Andy scurries back to her desk and quickly dons the black stilettos that Nigel brought her.
Do you have de Marseillais?
Leave it.
Emily takes over and Miranda rolls her eyes.
I have Miranda Priestley calling. I have Patrick! No, she called me in there and she asked me about Pier 59 and there was something about Simone, Frankie, someone else. And she needs skirts from Calvin Klein. And there was something about a pony.
Did she say which skirts?
No.
Did she say what kind?
No, I tried to ask her.
You never ask Miranda anything, right? I will deal with all of this and you will go to Calvin Klein.
Me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have some prior commitment? Some hideous skirt convention you have to go to?
Andy's hurt by the slight. A sleek chauffeur-driven car brings Andy to the Calvin Klein showroom on 7th Avenue. Her mobile phone rings as she's getting out.
Miranda?
Are you there?
I'm about to walk in. I'll call you as soon as
She crosses in heavy traffic.
Hello?
While you're out. Miranda needs you to go to Hermes to pick up 25 scarves we ordered for her.
Okay.
Cassidy forgot her homework at Dalton. Pick that up.
Oh, yeah, and Miranda went out to meet with Mizell, and she will want more Starbucks when she gets back. Hot Starbucks.
Can you just repeat that first? Hello?
Andy struggles back into the office, carrying big bags and 4 coffees.
Oh, my God. What took you so long? I have to pee.
You haven't peed since I left?
No, I haven't been manning the desk, haven't I? Bursting.
Miranda waltzes in and drops her coat and bag onto Andy's desk.
Oh, hi. You do coat. Do the coat. Okay. Now be prepared. The run-through is at 12:30 and people are panicking, so the phone is going to be ringing off the hook. The run-through, right? Yes, editors bring in options for the shoot and Miranda chooses. She chooses every single thing in every single issue. Run-throughs are a huge deal. I don't know why you don't know that, Andrea.
Okay, are you ready?
Oh, hi. Right, well, after the loo, Serena and I are going to lunch. This is her, the new me.
Hi.
Told you.
I thought you were kidding.
No, quite serious, yeah. I get 20 minutes for lunch and you get 15. When I come back, you can go.
Okay.
What exactly is she wearing?
Her grandmother's skirt.
Willowy, well-dressed Serena walks off with Emily. Later, Andy goes down to the canteen. Shaven-headed Nigel finds her helping herself to some soup.
Corn chowder.
That's an interesting choice.
You do know that cellulite is one of the main ingredients in corn chowder.
They exchange a smile. Andy gets a roll.
So none of the girls here eat anything?
Not since 2 became the new 4 and 0 became the new 2.
Well, I'm a 6.
Which is the new 14?
Andy gets soup on her jumper.
Shoot.
Oh, never mind. I'm sure you had plenty more polyblend where that came from.
Okay. You think my clothes are hideous, I get it. But, you know, I'm not going to be in fashion forever, so I don't really see the point of changing everything about myself just because I have this job.
Yes, that's true. That's really what this multi-billion dollar industry is all about anyway, isn't it? Inner beauty. Hello? Right. Come on. Miranda's pushed the run through up a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
She's always 15 minutes early.
Which means?
You're already late. Come. Shoot. Excuse me.
A gentleman's in the lift with them.
Mr. Abbott?
Nigel? Issue going well?
Oh, yes. Our best September ever.
Great. Heard Miranda killed Autumn Jackets and pulled up the Sedona shoot. What's that costing me?
About $300,000.
Must have been some lousy jackets. Irv Rabbits.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Andy Sachs, Miranda's new assistant. Oh,
congratulations, young lady. A million girls would kill for that job.
Bye-bye. Chairman of Elias Clark, Irv Rabbits. You know what they say. Tiny man, huge ego.
Miranda vets outfits.
No, and I've seen all this before.
Deskins is trying to reinvent the dropway, so actually
where are all the other dresses?
We have some right here, and then
Stand,
Armani.
Watch and listen.
And I think it can be very interesting with...
No, it's just baffling to me. Why is it so impossible to put together a decent run-through? You people have had hours and hours to prepare. It's just so confusing to me. Where are the advertisers?
We have some pieces from Banana Republic.
Well, we need more, don't we? Oh, this is...
A dress.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know me. Give me a full ballerina skirt and a hint of saloon, and I'm on board.
But do you think it's too much like...
Like a La Croix from July? I thought that, but no, not with the right accessories. It should work.
Where are the belts for this dress? Why is no one ready?
Here. It's a tough call. They're so different.
Andy chuckles at the similarity of the two blue belts.
Something funny?
Andy's smile fades.
Nothing's, you know, it's just that both those belts look exactly the same to me. You know, I'm still learning about this stuff and,
This stuff? Oh, okay. I see. You think this has nothing to do with you. You go to your closet and you select, I don't know, that... lumpy blue sweater, for instance, because you're trying to tell the world that you take yourself too seriously to care about what you put on your back. But what you don't know is that that sweater is not just blue, it's not turquoise, it's not lapis, it's actually cerulean. And you're also blithely unaware of the fact that in 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of cerulean gowns, and then I think it was Yves Saint Laurent, wasn't it, who showed cerulean military jackets? I think we need a jacket here. And then cerulean quickly showed up in the collections of 8 different designers. And then it filtered down through the department stores and then trickled on down into some tragic casual corner where you no doubt fished it out of some clearance bin. However, that blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs. And it's sort of comical how you think that you've made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry when in fact you're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room. From a pile of stuff.
At home.
Miranda said, no, I couldn't see the difference between the two absolutely identical belts, and you should have seen the look she gave me. I swear, I thought the flesh was gonna melt off her face. It's not funny. She is not happy unless everyone around her is panic, nauseous, or suicidal. And the clackers just worship her.
The who?
They call them clackers. The sound that their stilettos make in the Marble Lobby, it's like clack, 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 clack. And they all act like they're curing cancer or something. The amount of time and energy that these people spend on these insignificant, minute details, and for what? So that tomorrow they can spend another $300,000 reshooting something that was probably fine to begin with to sell people things they don't need. Good.
Nate hands her a sandwich.
I'm not even hungry anymore.
What?
That is why those girls are so skinny.
Oh, no, no, no. Give me that. There's like $8 of Jarlsberg in there.
You know what? I just have to stick it out for a year. 1 year. And then I can do what I came to New York to do. But I can't let Miranda get to me. I won't.
Easy there, Tiger.
Andy set her desk.
Well, good morning, Miranda.
Let me, Isaac.
Dumping coat and bag.
I don't see my breakfast here. Are my eggs here? Where are my eggs?
Excuse me!
Pick up the Polaroids from the lingerie shoot. Have the brakes checked on my car. Where's that piece of paper I had in my hand yesterday morning? Girls need new surfboards or boogie boards or something for spring break.
Hello? The twins also need flip-flops.
And he turns with boards.
Pick up my shoes from Blahnik and then go get Patricia.
Who's that? Go, girl!
A dog.
Get me that little table that I like at that store on Madison. Get us a reservation for dinner tonight at that place. Get me a
good review. Thank you. Notes delivered today.
Where is everyone?
Why is no one?
Get me de Beauchelier.
Andy does her bidding.
I have Miranda Priestly calling for... Okay. I have Patrick. Oh, thank God it's Friday, right? At least Miranda will be in Miami, so we don't have to be on call this weekend. You know, my dad's coming in from Ohio. Yeah, we're gonna go out to dinner and maybe see Chicago. You doing anything fun this weekend?
Yes.
Emily goes. Andy and her father have dinner together.
Yeah, Nate said it was great. Uh-huh. He applied here, but they wanted some more experience.
Here.
Huh? What's this?
I don't want you to get behind on your rent.
How did you... I'm gonna kill Mom. Thank you. Uh-huh.
She accepts the cash.
It's really good to see you.
You too, honey.
Do you want to start grilling me now, or should we wait till after dinner?
Well, I thought I'd let you at least enjoy the bread basket first.
No, it's okay. Go right ahead.
We're just a little worried, honey. We get emails from you at your office at 2 a.m. Your pay is terrible. You don't get to write anything.
Yeah, that's not fair. I wrote those emails.
I'm just trying to understand why someone who got accepted to Stanford Law turns it down to be a journalist, and now you're not even doing that.
Dad, you have to trust me. Being Miranda's assistant opens a lot of doors. Emily is going to Paris with Miranda in a few months, and she's going to meet editors and writers from every important magazine, and in a year, that could be me. Right? I swear, this is my break. This is my chance. This is my boss. I'm sorry, Dad, I have to take this. Hello, Miranda?
My flight has been canceled. It's some absurd weather problem. I need to get home tonight. The twins have a recital tomorrow morning at school.
What?
At school.
Absolutely. Oh. Let me see what I can do.
Good.
Hi. I know this is totally last minute, but I was hoping that you could maybe get a flight from my boss from Miami to New York tonight. Yeah, any kind of jet. From Miami to New York.
Thank you.
Yes, I need it tonight. Oh, I thought you were going to... No, it's over here, honey. Hi, I'm trying to get a flight tonight, from Miami to New York. Yes, I know there's a hurricane. Nothing is flying out. What do you mean nothing is flying out? It's from Miranda Priestly, and I know that she's a client of yours. She's flown with you before. Yes, hi, I need a jet tonight from Miami to New York. Yeah, sorry, hold on.
What?
Hello? Miranda, hi. Look, I'm trying to get you a flight, but no one is flying out because of the weather.
Please. It's just, I don't know, drizzling. Someone must be getting out. Call Donatella. Get her jet.
Call everybody else that we know that has a jet. Irv. Call everybody. This is your responsibility. This is your job.
Get me home.
Oh, my God. She's going to murder me.
What does she want you to do? Call the National Guard and have her airlifted out of there?
Of course not. Could I do that?
They go to the theater. At the office...
Girls' recital was absolutely wonderful. They played Rachmaninoff. Everyone loved it, everyone, except me, because, sadly, I was not there.
Miranda, I'm so sorry.
Do you know why I hired you? I always hire the same girl. Stylish, slender, of course. Worships the magazine, but so often they turn out to be... I don't know, disappointing and, stupid. So, you, with that impressive resume and the big speech about your so-called work ethic, I I thought you would be different. I said to myself, go ahead. Take a chance. Hire the smart, fat girl. I had hope. My God, I live on it. Anyway, you ended up disappointing me more than any of the other silly girls.
I really did everything I could think of.
That's all.
Holding back her tears, Andy walks out of Miranda's office into the anteroom and past Emily's desk.
Excuse me, where do you think you're going?
Andy walks through the editorial department and passes Nigel's office, which has a glass wall. She stops by the door and looks in at Nigel, who's examining some contact sheets on an illuminated desktop. Andy goes in and leans on the desk.
She hates me, Nigel.
And that's my problem because... Oh, wait, no. It's not my problem.
I don't know what else I can do because if I do something right, it's unacknowledged. She doesn't even say thank you. But if I do something wrong, she is vicious.
So quit.
What?
Quit. I can get another girl to take your job in 5 minutes. One who really wants it.
No, I don't want to quit. That's not fair. But I'm just saying that I would just like a little credit for the fact that I'm killing myself trying.
Ugh, Andy, be serious. You are not trying. You are whining. What is it that you want me to say to you, huh? Do you want me to say poor you? Miranda's picking on you. Poor you, poor Andy. Wake up, Six. She's just doing her job. Don't you know that you were working at the place that published some of the greatest artists of the century? Halston, Lagerfeld, De La Renta. And what they did, what they created, was greater than art. Because you live your life in it. Well, not you, obviously, but some people. You think this is just a magazine? This is not just a magazine. This is a shining beacon of hope for, oh, I don't know. Let's say a young boy growing up in Rhode Island with six brothers pretending to go to soccer practice when he was really going to sewing class and reading Runway under the covers at night with a flashlight. You have no idea how many legends have walked these halls. And what's worse, you don't care. Because this place, where so many people would die to work, you only deign to work. And you want to know why she doesn't kiss you on the forehead and give you a gold star on your homework at the end of the day.
He pokes her forehead.
Wake up, sweetheart.
Okay, so I'm screwing it up. I don't want to. I just wish that I knew what I could do to...
Her face brightens.
Nigel.
He reads her smile.
No.
I don't know what you expect me to do.
There's nothing in this whole closet that'll fit a size 6, I can guarantee you.
A huge closed storeroom.
These are all sample sizes, 2 and 4. All right, we'll turn this for you, and...
A poncho.
You'll take what I give you and you'll like it. We're doing this Dolce for you. And shoes, Jimmy Choo, Nola Blahnik.
Wow.
Nancy Gonzalez, love that.
Okay, this is Rodriguez, this we love. It might fit, it might. Okay, now Chanel, you're in desperate need of Chanel. Darling, shall we? We have to get to the beauty department and God knows how long that's going to take.
I mean, I have no idea why Miranda hired her.
Me neither. The other day we were in the beauty department and she held up the Schwimmer eyelash curler and said, what is this?
I mean, I just knew from the moment I saw her she was going to be a complete and utter disaster.
Made over and looking fabulous with her freshly fringed glossy hair and an elegant black jacket and trousers on, Andy strides past Serena and Emily and gets the phone.
Miranda Priestley's office? No, actually, she's not available, but I'll leave word. Okay, thanks. Bye.
How did...
Are you wearing the
Chanel boots? Yeah, I am.
You look good.
Emily glares at Serena.
What?
Oh, shut up, Serena.
Nate leaves the restaurant he chefs in.
See you guys tomorrow. Take care of that finger, huh?
Nate pulls on his jacket and heads down the street, walking straight past Andy, who's leaning against a car waiting for him. He stops and looks back, taking in her new look from top to toe. The Chanel boots, the slinky jacket, the gold necklaces, the lipstick and the sleek hairdo.
So, what do you think?
I think we better get out of here before my girlfriend sees me.
Andy walks to the subway wearing a stylish green coat and shades, with white gloves on and a cute bag. Another day she walks the same route with a black coat on, an orange hat and a different designer handbag. Now she emerges from the subway in a white coat and matching peaked cap, with yet another desirable handbag on her shoulder. Andy runs into work across the foyer in heels and a chic black coat, her dark hair scooped up in a bun. On another day, she walks past the runway reception desk in a sparkly bronze coat and matching heels. Now, wearing a gorgeous flowing black outfit with knee-length boots and a long pendant necklace, Andy is arranging magazines on Miranda's desk when Miranda arrives.
We're gonna use the burgundy.
Miranda takes in Andy's outfit and then continues her call. Nate, Doug and Lily in a restaurant.
So we spent a whole semester on potatoes alone. Take the fry and squeeze it. And see how firm that is?
Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late. There's a crisis in the accessories department. I need to find a python headband.
This python's hot right now.
I have exciting presents for all of you. Are you ready?
What is that?
It's a Bang & Olufsen phone. Charlie Rose sent it to Miranda for her birthday. I looked it up online. It's $1,100.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
And I have some products. Mason Kearson hairbrushes, a little Clinique.
Ooh. Oh, damn it. I love your job.
Oh, one more. Little thing.
A bag for Lily.
Do you want it?
Give me.
You want?
Oh. Give me, give me, give me.
I think she likes it.
Oh, my God. This is a new Marc Jacobs. This is sold out everywhere. Where did you get this?
Miranda didn't want it, so...
Oh, no, 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 no. This bag is at $1,900. I cannot take this from you.
You can.
Why do women need so many bags?
Shut up.
You have one, you put all your junk in it, and that's it. You're done.
Fashion is not about utility. An accessory is merely a piece of iconography used to express individual identity.
And it's pretty.
That too.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, the thing is, it turns out that there is more to runway than just fancy purses. Look. Here's an essay by Jay McInerney, a piece by Joan Didion, even an interview with Christiane Amanpour.
Looks like someone's been drinking the Kool-Aid.
What are you... Nate.
I got it. It's, yep, the dragon
oh,
lady.
Miranda.
Let me talk to her.
No, okay, I need that.
That's how I get her
Lily,
home and scrambled
eggs. Lily, no, 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 look that thing up. It's going to answer. It's going to answer. The top is going to make... Give me the phone.
Andy's mates giggle.
Hi, Miranda. Absolutely. I'm leaving right now. Now, you guys didn't have to be such assholes.
She walks out. Andy gets out of the back of a sleek black car and makes her way to a loft in a fashionable apartment building. She rings the bell. No one comes to the door, so she pushes it open and enters the elegant, low-lit apartment, where a fashionable but sedate party is in full swing. Andy sashays down the hall in her black outfit with the big pendant necklace and approaches a sophisticated-looking couple.
Excuse me. I'm looking for James Holt.
That's him right there.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
No problem.
Must have out there, really? And I pray they improve.
Excuse me.
Hi.
I'm Andy. I'm picking up from Miranda Priestley.
Oh, yes. You must be the new Emily. Nice to meet you. Oh, let me see that bag. Very, very nice. Distressed studded leather, pieced by hand, finished with a metallic fringe. Very nice indeed. Who made that fantastic thing?
You.
Duh.
He hands her a black portfolio.
Here you go. It's a sketch of Miranda's dress for the benefit. Also the centerpiece of my spring collection. Top secret stuff.
I'll guard it with my life.
Please do. Come on, you're working for Miranda Priestley now. You must be in desperate need of hard liquor.
They go to the bar.
Excuse us, girls. She'll have the punch.
Suave James hands her a glass.
It's deadly. Have fun.
He goes and a handsome curly-haired guy approaches Andy.
He's right, you know. Punch. I drank it at James's last party. I woke up in Hoboken wearing nothing but a poncho and a cowboy hat.
Andy puts down her glass.
Wise.
Hi.
Christian Thompson.
Christian Thompson? You're kidding. No, you write for, like, every magazine I love. I reviewed your collection of essays for my college newspaper.
Did you mention my good looks, my killer charm?
No, but...
What do you do?
Oh, well, I want to work for somewhere like the New Yorker or Vanity Fair. I am a writer, too.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I should read your stuff. Why don't you send it over?
Yeah? That would be... Thank you. That would be great. But actually, right now, I'm working as Miranda Priestley's assistant.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, that's too bad. That's... Ooh. Never survived Miranda.
Excuse me?
Well, you seem nice. Smart. You can't do that job.
Gotta go.
Okay. Well, it was very, very nice to meet you. Miranda girl.
Andy smiles and takes her leave. Christian watches her go. Miranda's in her office going through James Holt's portfolio. She's wearing a crisp black suit and her shock of grey-white hair is expertly coiffured.
Emily?
In the anteroom, Emily points at Andy, who hurries into the office in a smart black mini-dress with white collars and cuffs.
Call James Holt's office. Tell them I want to move the preview up to today, 12:30. And tell everybody else. Be ready to leave in half an hour.
But we're not expected until Tuesday.
Did she say why?
Yes. Yeah, she explained every detail of her decision-making. And then we brushed each other's hair and gabbed about American Idol.
I see your point.
What's a preview, anyway?
Good morning, Miranda.
Miranda insists upon seeing all the designers' collections before they show them.
Great to see you.
And she tells them what she thinks?
In her way.
This season really began for me with a meditation on the intersection between East and West.
There's a scale. One nod is good, two nods is very good. There's only been one actual smile on record, and that was Tom Ford in 2001.
An Obie belt.
If she doesn't like it, she shakes her head.
This is the dress that we have designed specifically and exclusively for you.
And of course, there's the pursing of the lips.
Which means?
Miranda purses her lips at James's red dress.
Catastrophe.
Just go.
Leaving the showroom.
So because she pursed her lips, he's going to change his entire collection?
You still don't get it, do you? Her opinion is the only one that matters.
Andy follows Miranda.
Call my husband and confirm dinner.
At Pastis, done.
And I'll need a change of clothes.
Well, I've already messengered your outfit over to the shoot.
Fine. And Andrea, I would like you to deliver the book to my home tonight. Have Emily give you the key.
Mm-hmm. Back at the office.
Guard this with your life.
Of course.
The key.
You know, if I can deliver the book, then that means I must have done something right. I'm not a psycho. Oh, and you know she called me Andrea? I mean, she didn't call me Emily, which is... Isn't that great?
Yeah, whoopee.
Emily approaches Andy's desk.
Now, it's very important that you do exactly what I'm about to tell you.
Oh, okay.
The book is assembled by 10:30, and you must wait around for it until then. You will be delivering Miranda's dry cleaning with the book.
A car drops Andy off.
Now, the car will take you straight to Miranda's townhouse. You let yourself in.
Andy does so.
Andrea, you do not talk to anyone. You do not look at anyone. This is of the utmost importance. You must be invisible. Do you understand? You open the door. And you walk across the foyer. You hang the dry cleaning in the closet across from the staircase.
Andy falters in the foyer as there are three closet doors to choose from.
And you leave the book on the table with the flowers.
There are various different tables in the foyer, all with flowers on them.
Shit! Is that door to the left?
Andy looks up the spiral staircase and sees the twins looking over the banister rail on an upper level. She follows their instructions and stashes the dry cleaning in the closet on the left.
Thank you.
She shows the book.
You can give the book to us.
Which table?
It's okay. Come
no,
on up.
No, I can't. I can't.
What? It's okay.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. Get up. It's okay.
Please stop talking.
Or you could bring the book upstairs. Emily does it all the time.
She does.
Right. She does. All the time.
Yeah.
They giggle as Andy creeps upstairs. She reaches an upper floor and comes across Miranda and her husband.
What did you expect me to do? Walk out in the middle of the cover?
I rushed out an investment committee meeting. I sat there waiting for you for almost an hour.
I told you that the cell phones didn't work. Nobody could get a signal out.
And I knew what everyone in that restaurant was thinking. There he is, waiting for her again.
They catch sight of Andy, who's trying to creep back downstairs. Miranda glowers at Andy, who's like a rabbit trapped in the headlights. She leaves the book on the top step and hurries away. Next morning, Emily grabs Andy's arm and pulls her into a side room as she arrives for work.
Okay, I promise. It's the twins said hello, so I said hello back, and then I went up the stairs to give her the book, and
You went upstairs. You went upstairs. Oh, my God, why didn't you just climb into bed with her and ask for a bedtime story?
Okay, I made a mistake. I know.
Andrea, you don't understand. If you get fired, that might jeopardize Paris for me, and if that happens, I will search every Blimpies in the tri-state area until I track you down.
She's gonna fire me?
I don't know. She's not happy.
Andrea.
Emily points to Miranda's office and Andy reluctantly goes in there.
Miranda, about last night,
I need the new Harry Potter book for the twins.
Okay. I'll go down to Barnes & Noble right now.
Did you fall down and smack your little head on the pavement?
Not that I can recall.
We have all the published Harry Potter books. Twins want to know what happens next.
You want the unpublished manuscript?
Well, we know everyone in publishing. It shouldn't be a problem, should it? And you can do anything, right?
Andy smiles nervously and heads back to her desk. Miranda answers her mobile.
Yes, Bobsy. I know, baby. Mummy's working very hard to get it for you.
She doesn't get it. No, I can call frickin' J.K. Rowling herself. I'm not gonna get a copy of that book.
My girls are leaving on the train for their grandmothers at 4, so the book better be here. No later than 3.
Of course.
And I would like my steak here in 15 minutes.
No problem. Okay, I have 4 hours to get the impossible manuscript. Smith & Wolinski's doesn't open until 11:30. How am I going to get the steak? Okay, I will be back in 15 minutes. Wish me luck.
No, shan't.
Yes, I said put it on. Well, it's for Miranda Priestly. It's very important. Yes, I know it's impossible to get, but possible. That's it all. Possible. Calling about the Harry Potter manuscript? No. Unpublished. Not a chance. Tell her that it's for Miranda Priestly, because I think it makes a difference.
Andy sees an advert on a bus for Christian's latest work, Homeless Hamlet off Houston Street.
Let me call you back.
Hi, you probably don't remember me, but we met at James Cole's party. I'm Miranda Priestly's assistant.
The Harry Potter manuscript? Oh, you're kidding.
Sorry to ask, but I am desperate.
Well, just tell her it can't be done. You'll have to come up with a plan B.
Well, this is Miranda Priestly we're talking about. There is no plan B. There's only plan A. Is she back? Am I fired?
I rarely say this to people who aren't me, but you have got to calm down.
Bloody hell.
Andy sets a tray down on Miranda's desk and sprinkles herbs onto Miranda's steak.
Coat bag.
Emily runs to fetch them.
What's that? Oh, I don't want that. I'm having lunch with Irv. I'll be back at 3. I'd like my Starbucks waiting. Oh, and if you don't have that Harry Potter book by then,
Don't even bother coming back.
Emily has Miranda's coat and bag for her as she leaves. Andy carries the dishes into a side room and throws them into the sink. She calls Nate.
Hello? Quit? Are you sure?
I failed. She's gonna fire me anyway. I might as well beat her to the punch.
Wow. Andy, good for you. Congratulations. You're free.
Yeah, well, listen, I'll call you later.
Okay.
Hello?
I'm brilliant. No, really.
Monuments should be erected in my honor.
You didn't.
Oh, yes. A friend of a friend does the cover art, and she happens to have the manuscript.
Oh, no, because that would mean that I actually did something right. It's just... The thing is, Christian, I was just...
Look, you want this thing, you better hurry. I'll meet you at the St. Regis.
Andy stands on the corner for a moment in a dark green dress and gold accessories, then runs across the busy street.
Excuse me.
She runs around the corner and races up to the St. Regis, where a doorman in a morning suit greets her.
Welcome to the St. Regis. May I assist you with anything?
Yes, I'm meeting someone at the King Cole Bar.
Right this way.
She finds Christian sitting at the bar.
You have 1 hour.
Thank you.
She takes the manuscript. At the appointed hour, she puts a hot coffee and the manuscript down on Miranda's desk.
One copy. What are my twins going to do with that? Share?
No, I made 2 copies. And had them covered, reset, and bound so that they wouldn't look like manuscripts. This is an extra copy to have in file. You know, just in case.
Well, where are these fabulous copies? I don't see them anywhere.
The twins are reading them.
There was the twins. No, on the train on the way to Grandma's. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Mm-mm. That's all.
Okay.
Miranda turns away in her swivel chair and Andy walks out with a smile. Once Andy's gone, Miranda turns back to stare after her and snatches up the coffee. Nate gets home to find Andy painting a ball to look like a planet.
Hey.
Hey, I'm with the Demon DeLuca. Man, they charge like $5 a strawberry there. But I figure, since you quit your job, we should celebrate.
Listen, Nate.
Wait a minute, you quit your job, but you're still working on a twin science project? Well, that's big of you.
Okay. After we talked, I realized it doesn't make sense throwing away all those months of hard work. I just had a moment of weakness, that's all.
Yeah, well, either that or your job sucks and your boss is a wacko. All right. Whatever. It's your job.
She hugs him.
Nate, come on. I'm still the same person I was. I still want the same things. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Promise. Same Andy. Better clothes.
I like the old clothes.
Really? Well, what about these necklaces? Do you like them?
He shakes his head.
No. And this dress, it's new.
Eh.
Well, there is one other thing that's new that I thought you might like, but, what about this?
A black camisole.
You don't like it. I should better do this.
He pulls her into a passionate embrace. Nigel and his team are on a shoot by a lake in Central Park. The models are all in animal print outfits and stylized animal masks, and there's a man with a live snake. Andy finds Nigel vetting one of the models.
This is number 2, look. This is number 2.
Hi.
Hi. All right, turn around for me.
Oh, I get it. The piece is called Urban Jungle, right?
Yes, the modern woman unleashes the animal within to take on the big city. Good, go. Sometimes I can't believe I talk about this crap all day. Bobby, come here.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Let me see. Make sure Miranda gets these as soon as possible and tell her that I switched in the Dior for the Rochat.
Great, can't wait.
Excuse me, can we adjust the attitude?
I'm sorry.
Don't make me feed you to one of the models.
Sorry. It's a busy day. I'm my personal life is hanging by a thread, that's all.
Well, join the club. That's what happens when you start doing well at work, darling. Let me know when your whole life goes up in smoke. When is this time for a promotion?
He leaves Sandy thoughtful. Miranda's in a meeting with her senior members of staff, including Nigel.
No. Right, February, back of the issue. Did anybody speak with Salma's people yet?
Yes, but she'd rather do a summer cover because she has a movie coming out.
Also, I'm pulling the Tubin piece on the Supreme Court woman, and I need to see a new draft on that piece about shopping for a plastic surgeon. It's dull. And this layout for the Winter Wonderland spread, not wonderful yet.
Okay, I'll look at it.
What about Testino? Where are we on that?
Zach Posen's doing some very sculptural suits, so I suggested that Testino shoot them at the Noguchi Garden.
Perfect. Thank God somebody came to work today. What about accessories for April?
One thought I had was enamel, bangles, pendants, earrings.
No, we did that 2 years ago. What else?
Well, they're showing a lot of florals right now, so I was thinking I could
florals?
Do a shoot.
For spring. Groundbreaking.
But we thought about shooting them in an industrial space. We thought the contrast between the femininity of the florals and the more raw, rough hewn background would create this wonderful tension with...
No.
Emily has a cold. She comes in, hands something to Miranda, and goes.
Does anybody else have anything I can possibly use? Antibacterial wipes, perhaps?
Emily goes back to her desk.
How's the cold doing?
Like death warmed up, actually.
Oh, God, it's a benefit tonight. I've been looking forward to it for months. Refuse to be sick. I'm wearing Valentino for crying out loud. Right. Well, everybody will be leaving soon to get ready, so I suggest you go and drop Miranda's Fendi bag off at the showroom, and then I suppose you can just go home.
Yeah? Oh, well, that is great. Perfect, actually. I need to get to Magnolia Bakery before it closes. It's Nate's birthday tonight, so we're having a little party for him.
Yeah, I'm hearing this, and I want to hear this.
Mouth shut.
I love my job.
Mandy is on her way out of the building when her phone goes.
Hello?
She's back in Miranda's office with Emily.
Before the benefit tonight, I need to make sure that you're both fully prepped on the guest list.
But I thought that only the first assistant went to the benefit.
Only when the first assistant hasn't decided to become an incubus, a viral plague. You'll come and help Emily.
Andy nods.
That's all.
Albums.
Right. These are all of the guests. Miranda invites everyone. Now we have to make sure that they all think that she knows exactly who they are. And I've been studying for weeks. I have to run all these by tonight. Now don't be silly, Andrea. These two.
Look, you better just start without me, okay? I'll get there as soon as I can.
Andy.
Come on, it's his birth. Okay. But hurry.
Oh, please, believe me, I will. This is the last thing that I want to... Ooh, I love that. But I'll call you the second I'm leaving, okay? Will that fit me?
Oh, yeah. A little Crisco and some fishing line and we're in business.
Mm-hmm. Nigel has a long black gown. City lights sparkle as Andy's driven to the benefit. The event is being held at the New York Public Library. A banner hanging from the entrance reads, "Runway celebrates fashion." Andy gets out of the car looking stunning in the chic black evening gown, with her hair swept up and adorned with white flowers. Andy spots Nigel talking to reporters.
Oh, nothing really. I mean, this is the social event of the season.
He spots Andy and gives her a warm smile. She winks back and makes her way past the press, along the red carpet and up the stairs towards the entrance. Emily is standing on the stairs with another couple. She spots Andy.
Oh my God. Andy, you look so chic.
Aw, oh, thanks, Ev. You look so thin.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, it's for Paris. Well, I'm on this new diet. It's very effective. Well, I don't eat anything. And when I feel like I'm about to faint, I eat a cube of cheese.
Well, it's definitely working.
I know. I'm just one stomach flu away from my god weight. Look at us, we're
beautiful. All the people push and pull. Inside at the benefit, Emily and Andy follow Miranda around as she greets guests, prompting her as to who they are. Miranda's wearing a black off-the-shoulder gown.
That's John Folger, the new artistic director of the Chelsea Rep.
John.
Hey there.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you. It's always nice to see you.
Stop fidgeting. I'm sorry, I'm so late. Just deal with it. You have to be here.
Andy spots Chairman Irv Ravitz with a chic lady on his arm.
Emily, come here. Isn't that Jacqueline Follet from French Runway?
Oh my God, Miranda hates. She was supposed to arrive after Miranda left.
I did. Oh, yeah.
Miranda, fabulous event.
You brought Jacqueline.
Surprise.
Quelle surprise. Oh, wonderful. We're so happy that you were able to come to our little gathering.
Of course. I planned my whole year around this.
Well, we're so grateful that you do.
Ciao.
Have you gotten my note?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
We'll discuss it on Wednesday.
Yes, I agree. No business tonight.
Awesome.
Enjoy.
A tissue. A man waves at Miranda, who turns to Emily.
Oh my God, I just can't remember what his name is. I just saw his name this morning on Lissy's. Oh, I know this. It's something to do with... Wait, he was part of the... Oh God, I know this. It's Ambassador Franklin, and that's the woman that he left his wife for, Rebecca.
And he steps back.
Rebecca. Ambassador?
Miranda.
Emily looks gratefully at Andy, who smiles. Later, Andy is hurrying out of the benefit when she meets Christian coming up the steps.
Look at you.
Hello.
You're a vision.
Oh.
Thank God I saved your job.
Yeah. You know, I figured out a few things on my own, too. Turns out I'm not as nice as you thought.
But I hope not.
Wow. If it weren't for the stupid boyfriend, I'd have to whisk you away right here and now.
Do you actually say things like that to people?
Evidently.
Well, I gotta go.
Are you sure? Because my editor for New York Magazine is inside, and, you know, I could introduce you to him.
You sent over your stuff for me to look at, remember?
Yeah.
All right, I gotta admit, I only read a couple because it was a very, very large packet you sent. But what I did read wasn't half bad, and, you know, I think you have a talent, Andy. He should meet you. Why don't you come in, just for one drink?
Okay, yeah, I guess I could for one. No, I can't. I'm sorry, but I have to go.
All right. Give my best to the boyfriend.
Christian heads into the benefit. Andy is being driven home through the busy New York streets.
Roy, I'm sorry, can you go any faster?
I'm sure Nate will understand.
Andy finds Nate watching TV alone.
Hey.
He doesn't turn round as she comes in. Andy shuts the door, puts down her bags and walks over to him, carrying a single fairy cake with a lit candle on it. Dark-haired Nate looks morose.
Happy birthday.
He sits forward.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I kept trying to leave, but there was a lot going on, and, you know, I didn't have a choice.
Don't worry about it.
I go to bed.
Can we at least talk about this?
He stops in the doorway and turns back to look at her, shaking his head sadly.
You look really pretty.
Hanging his head, he turns and mooches off into the bedroom. Looking glum, Andy blows out the candle on the cake. Andy lets herself into Miranda's townhouse, carrying Miranda's dry cleaning and the book. She's wearing a cool monochrome outfit with black trousers and pale boots and a big floppy cap on her head. She puts the dry cleaning into the correct closet and is about to leave the book when...
Andrea?
Andy's being summoned from one of the other rooms, but she can't see Miranda. She yanks her cap off and smooths her fringe before heading in. Miranda's in a chair in the lounge.
Do you have the book?
Andy hands it to her.
Paris is the most important week of my entire year. I need the best possible team with me. That no longer includes Emily.
Wait, you want me to... Miranda, Emily would die. Her whole life is about Paris. She hasn't eaten in weeks. I can't do that, Miranda. I can't.
If you don't go, I'll assume you're not serious about your future. At Runway or any other publication.
Miranda rises sternly. Andy looks down.
The decision's yours. That's all.
Miranda has turned her attention to the book. Andy stands and stares at her with her big doe eyes for a moment, then leaves. Andy strolls sadly through the city, mulling over her decision. It's dark and the swanky shop windows she passes are all lit up. She passes people sitting at tables outside a restaurant. She shakes her head and moves on. Yellow taxicabs pass her on the street as she walks past shop windows, one displaying a fashionable red coat. Back at home, Nate wanders out of the bedroom and finds Andy looking through some of her old articles and photographs, including one of her with her parents. She picks up another photograph. Nate's shoulders sag and he heads back into the bedroom and turns out the light. Andy rubs her neck, trying to ease some of the tension. Andy's at work early. Miranda's office is empty and so is Emily's chair. Andy stares across the anteroom at it, then picks up a clipboard and some papers. Miranda comes in, unbuttoning her coat, which has a striped collar. She stands and stares at Andy with a vaguely pleased smile. Andy nods and holds her hand out to receive the coat, but Miranda tosses it and her handbag onto Emily's desk and marches into her office. Andy stares at the coat, which has been slung over Emily's monitor screen, and sits stiffly down in her own chair. Miranda comes to the door.
Andrea, don't forget to tell Emily. Do it now.
Andy reluctantly picks up her telephone receiver and calls Emily, who's running down busy streets with some big bags.
Don't pick up. Don't pick up. Don't pick up. Don't pick up. Hi. Emily.
Hi. Sorry I'm late. It's just Miranda wanted some scarves from her mares, and she did tell me yesterday, but I forgot like an idiot, and so I freaked out, of course.
Emily, I need to talk to you.
But then I called Martine at home and she opened the shop early. Whoa! Sorry. She opened the shop early for me, so I got them, which is great.
Okay. Emily, but when you come in, there's something I have to talk to you about.
Well, I hope it's not another Miranda problem.
Not exactly.
Well, good, because I've got so much to deal with before I go. I swear to God, I'm going to...
Emily's hit by a taxi and rolls onto its bonnet. The scarves flutter around her.
Emily?
Andy waits at the hospital looking sheepish. Later, she's with Emily, who's lying in bed with a broken leg and some cuts and bruises.
I don't care if she was going to fire you or beat you with a red-hot poker. You should have said no.
Emily, I didn't have a choice. Oh, you know how she is.
Please, that is a pathetic excuse.
A man comes in with a dinner tray. Emily tucks into a jelly pot and some bread.
Do you know what really just gets me about this whole thing is that, you know, you're the one who said that you don't really care about this stuff and you don't really care about fashion, you just want to be a journalist. And what a pile of bollocks!
Emily, I know you're mad. I don't blame you.
Face it, Andy. You sold your soul the day you put on that first pair of Jimmy Choo's. I saw it. And do you know what really just kills me about this whole thing? It's the clothes that you're gonna get. I mean, don't deserve them. You eat carbs, for Christ's sake. God, so unfair.
Emily.
Just go.
Andy stands up and grabs her clutch bag.
Emily,
I said go.
You are going to Paris for the couture shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's the coolest fashion event of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who are you going to see? Galliano?
Yeah.
And Lagerfeld?
Yeah.
And Nicolas Ghesquiere?
Yeah. Okay, now you're scaring me.
Hey.
The show is amazing. I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
Okay, start with the photos in the back and work your way forward. That is the way I designed it. It is brilliant. You will love it.
Of course.
You... I have somebody I want you to meet.
Okay. Art and sex. Lead the way.
See you later.
Okay.
Andy's at a gallery show that Lily's curated. Lily leads Doug off and Andy checks out the art, standing alone to admire the floor-to-ceiling blown-up black-and-white photographs of street scenes. Christian is at the opening too. He spots Andy.
Hey, Miranda girl.
Hi.
I was just thinking about you.
Oh, come on.
It's true.
No.
I'm profiling Gautier for interview. And making my Paris plans, I found myself wondering if you were going to be there.
Well, actually, I'm going.
Great. I'm staying in a fantastic little hotel in the south, right across the street from the falafel restaurant that will change your life.
I'm sorry, I'll be too busy working. I'll have to find someone else's life to change.
Well, that's just it. I'm beginning to wonder if I can.
Andy closes her eyes as rugged, fair-haired Christian kisses her cheek before leaving. Lily has seen the kiss from across the room and walks off angrily. Andy tries to catch up.
Lily, he's just a guy I know from work.
Yeah, that looked like work.
Look, you're making a big deal out
of it. You know, the Andy I know is madly in love with Nate. He's always 5 minutes early and thinks, I don't know, Club Monaco is couture. For the last 16 years, I've known everything about that Andy. But this person, this glamazon who skulks around in corners with some random hot fashion guy, I don't get her.
Lily, have fun in Paris.
You going to Paris?
Yeah, it just happened.
I thought Paris was a big deal for Emily. Or...
Great, you're gonna give me a hard time too.
Nate follows Andy out.
Hey, Andy, what the hell is wrong with you?
I didn't have a choice, okay? Miranda asked me and I couldn't say no.
I know, that's your answer for everything lately. I didn't have a choice.
Nate,
like, this job was forced on you. Like, you don't make these decisions yourself.
You're mad because I work late all the time and because I missed your birthday party. And I'm sorry.
Oh, come on, what am I for?
You hate Runway and Miranda and you think fashion is stupid. You've made that clear.
Andy, I make port wine reductions all day. I'm not exactly in the Peace Corps. You know, I wouldn't care if you were out there pole dancing all night, as long as you did it with a little integrity. You used to say this was just a job. You used to make fun of the runway girls. What happened? Now you've become one of them.
That's absurd.
Hey, that's okay. That's fine. Just own up to it. And then we can stop pretending like we have anything in common anymore.
You don't mean that.
No, I do.
He stares at Andy, who gazes back, then glances aside.
Well, maybe this trip is coming at a good time. Maybe we should take a break.
Nate nods, then turns and walks away.
Nate?
He turns back.
I'm sorry. Just one second.
You know, in case you were wondering, the person whose calls you always take, that's the relationship you're in. I hope you two are very happy together.
Nate walks off, and swallowing her tears, Andy takes the call.
Hello, Miranda.
An aerial view of Paris by night, the Eiffel Tower alive with sparkling lights. Andy is sitting in the back of a chic chauffeur-driven car with Miranda as they travel through the Paris streets and along the Champs-Élysées. She gazes out of the window, wide-eyed with excitement as they pass the city's grand buildings, shops and hotels, and the imposing Arc de Triomphe. Miranda occasionally glances over her spectacles at the view, but remains unmoved. Andy is sitting behind Miranda and Nigel, who are in the front row for the Valentino show. Models in an array of stunning gowns sashay down the runway as cameras flash. Nigel whispers in Miranda's ear. Andy's in the second row for another show and leans forward eagerly in her seat as the models parade up and down in flamboyant evening gowns. Now Andy's at the Azzaro show, where dresses in a monochrome palette are being shown. Models and celebrities mingle backstage at the Valentino show. Miranda talks to Valentino.
How are you? So glad to see you. Thank you for coming. You like the collection?
Absolutely.
This is very important. Very, very important.
This is my new Emily.
Oh, hello. How do you do? Nice to meet you.
Pleasure.
You love the show?
Andy follows Miranda and Nigel as they head into another function past the press pack. Miranda poses for photos. Christian appears beside Andy as a TV journalist collars Nigel and Miranda.
Miranda, Nigel, fashion's great gatekeepers. Miranda, what is Runway's position on French fashion versus American fashion?
I've been thinking.
Oh.
You still owe me for Harry Potter.
Oh, do I?
Of course you do. Are you working tonight?
They're photographed.
No, actually, Miranda has a dinner.
Great, you're free. Oh, but there is the problem of le boyfriend. Wait, don't tell me the boyfriend non plus? Just sweet, très désolé.
Oh, so full of it. You're not désolé at all.
No, not even a little. What time should I pick you up? I'll call you.
Yeah.
Andy hurries after Miranda. Later, Andy enters Miranda's suite, carrying some boxes. She puts them down and is surprised to see Miranda sitting on the couch with her glasses in her hand, just staring into space. She's wearing a dressing gown and has no makeup on.
Oh, there you are. We need to go over the seating chart for the luncheon.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I have it right here.
Miranda has her hand held out for them.
By all means, move at a glacial pace. You know how that thrills me.
Andy holds out a folder, which Miranda ungraciously accepts.
Okay. So, first of all, we need to move Snoop Dogg to my table.
Your table's full.
Stephen isn't coming.
Oh, Stephen is... So I don't need to fetch Stephen from the airport tomorrow?
Well, if you speak to him and he decides to rethink the divorce, then yes, fetch away. We're very fetching, so go fetch.
Andy's taken aback.
And then when we get back to New York, we need to contact, Leslie. See what she can do to minimize the press on all this. Another divorce. Splashed across page 6. Just imagine what they're gonna write about me. The dragon lady. Career obsessed. Snow Queen drives away another Mr. Priestley. Rupert Murdoch should cut me a check for all the papers I sell for him. Anyway, I don't really care what anybody writes about me. But my girls, it's just so unfair to the girls. Another disappointment, another letdown, another father figure. Gone. Anyway, point is, the point is we really need to figure out where to place Donatella because she's barely speaking to anyone.
Andy glances down at the papers in her lap, then looks across at Miranda with sympathy.
I'm so sorry, Miranda. If you want me to cancel your evening, I can.
Don't be ridiculous. Why would we do that?
Is there anything else I can do?
Your job.
Miranda hands back the seating chart.
That's all.
Back in her own suite, Andy is changed into a slim-fitting, low-cut black suit. She studies her reflection in a big mirror and touches up the mascara on her long black lashes. Surveying her sleek look, she thinks back to how she looked the morning of her interview at Runway and looks down.
Hi, I need Miranda's itinerary for tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, come on.
Nigel comes in and studies the outfit she's wearing.
Who put that together for you?
It's just something I threw on.
Anyway, let me see you turn.
Incroyable. Yeah. It's really just, no, it's...
Yeah?
No.
Okay, good.
Gorgeous. Really, I think that my work here is done.
We're going to celebrate. I'm going to get some champagne.
Okay. What are we toasting?
We're toasting, my dear, to the dream job. The one that a million girls wanted.
Which I got months ago.
I'm not talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
James Holt.
Yeah.
Massimo Cortiglione is investing in James's company and taking it global.
Mm-hmm.
Bags, shoes, fragrances, the works. And James needs a partner. And that partner would be me.
It doesn't.
No, Miranda knows because.
Oh!
She put me up for it. Oh, God, no.
But you're leaving. I can't imagine Runway without you.
I'm so excited, though. For the first time in 18 years, I'm going to be able to call the shots in my own life. Oh, my God! I'm going to be able to come to Paris and actually see Paris.
Well, congratulations.
Huh?
Oh. Nigel, you deserve it.
They raise their glasses.
You bet your size 6 ass.
4.
Really?
Cheers.
Cheers to you.
See that.
Andy and Christian in an elegant restaurant.
Oh, okay, I just want to say that, yes, there are things that Miranda does that I don't agree with, but...
Come on, you hate her. Just admit it to me.
No.
She's a notorious sadist, mm-hmm. And not in a good way.
Okay, she's tough, but if Miranda were a man, no one would notice anything about her except how great she is at her job.
I'm sorry, I can't believe this. You're defending her?
Yeah.
The wide-eyed girl peddling her earnest newspaper stories. You, my friend, are crossing over to the dark side.
I resent that.
You shouldn't. It's sexy.
Sexy. Really?
Really.
After dinner, they stroll near Notre Dame Cathedral.
So do you know where we're going? Because...
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Yeah, don't worry. I know this city like the back of my hand. It's my favorite place in the whole world. You know, Gertrude Stein once said, America is my country, and Paris is my hometown. It's true.
What do you do? Do you just write stuff like that down and then file it away to use it as girls?
I'm Christian Thompson. That's my
That's
way.
That's your way. Right.
I work freelance. I have a lot of free time on my hands.
You know, I never understood why everyone was so crazy about Paris, but it is so beautiful.
She swings around a lamppost. Christian kisses her.
I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. You know, Nate and I just split up a couple days ago, and I can't. Ooh. I've had too much wine in my hearing. Vision, judgment's impaired.
He kisses her again and again.
No, I barely know you. I'm in a strange city.
I am out of excuses.
Thank God.
She kisses him back, wrapping her arm around his neck. They are surrounded by bare trees adorned with fairy lights. Morning. There's a view of the Eiffel Tower from Christian's hotel bedroom window. Andy wakes up in his bed alone and puts a hand to her head with a grimace. She rolls over and consults a watch on the bedside table. Andy has pulled on her clothes and is hopping about trying to put her shoes on. Andy goes to grab her jacket and knocks over Christian's bag. A magazine cover mock-up falls out for the front of Runway magazine. Christian comes out of the bathroom in a towel.
Bonjour, madame.
Hi. What the hell is this?
What does it look like? It's a mock-up.
Yeah. Of?
Of what American Runway will look like when Jacqueline Follet is the new editor-in-chief.
They're replacing Miranda?
Yeah, and she's bringing me in to run all the editorial content. You're really surprised? Jacqueline's a lot younger than Miranda. She has a fresher take on things. Not to mention that American Runway is one of the most expensive books in the business. Jacqueline does the same thing for a lot less money. And Irv? Irv's a businessman.
Miranda will be devastated. Her whole life is about Runway. He can't do that to her.
It's done. Irv's gonna tell Miranda after the party for James.
And she has no idea?
She's a big girl. She'll be fine.
Shh. I have to go.
Andy. Andy, it's done. Baby, it's done.
I'm not your baby.
Andy grabs her stuff and goes. Walking along a modern bridge over the Seine, she calls Miranda's suite.
Hello.
Oh, thank God. You're there.
Excuse me?
I need to talk to you right away. It's about Jacqueline Follet.
Andy gets back to the hotel and pauses before knocking on Miranda's door.
Hello, Mr. Ravitz, I'm so sorry to bother you, but I was wondering...
Oh, you completely lost your mind.
I need to talk to you.
Do not disturb me.
But,
Miranda and Irv shut the door in her face. Later, Andy startles pigeons as she runs down a street heading for the runway event. She's changed into a black dress with a scoop neck and a full skirt with petticoats and wears black gloves and a silver necklace. At the event, she paces the hallway.
Miranda, wait, I need to talk to you. Irv is making Jacqueline Follet the editor-in-chief of Runway. Christian Thompson told me he's going to work for her, and Irv is going to tell you today, so I thought that maybe if I told you that you could fix it.
Do I smell freesias?
What? No. I specifically told them that...
If I see freesias anywhere, I will be very disappointed.
For 72 years, Runway has been more than a magazine. It has been a beacon of elegance and grace. Miranda Priestley is the finest possible guardian of that beacon, setting a standard that inspires people across the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Miranda Priestley.
Nigel steps down from the podium and Miranda makes her way over from the table she's been sitting at. They are gathered in a plush banqueting suite with chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. Andy spies Christian sitting with Jacqueline. Miranda kisses Nigel before taking her place.
Thank you, my dear friend. Bonjour. Thank you very much for coming today to help celebrate our dear friend, James Holt.
James gets up and salutes his fans. Andy and Nigel smile over at him.
But before I talk to you about James and his many accomplishments, I would like first to share some news with you. As many of you know, recently Massimo Cortiglione has agreed to finance the expansion of the James Holt label, transforming the work of this visionary artist into a global brand, which is really an exciting enterprise. Runway and James Holt share many things in common, chief among them, a commitment to excellence. And so, it should come as no surprise that when the time came for James to choose the new president of James Holt International, he chose from within the Runway family. And it's my great happiness today to announce to you all that that person is my friend and longtime esteemed colleague, Jacqueline Follet.
Nigel's excited smile fades and he looks up at Miranda crestfallen. Pretty Jacqueline beams delightedly. Nigel puts on a brave face and applauds her. Jacqueline stands. Andy looks over at Miranda incredulously. Up on the podium, Miranda smiles and applauds Jacqueline as Irv eyes her coolly. Andy glances over at Christian, who looks stunned. James preens himself smugly.
We at Runway are very proud to have been first.
When the time is right, she'll pay me back.
Nigel fidgets in his seat.
You sure about that?
No. But I hope for the best. I have to.
Later, Andy gets into the back of a smart black executive car, which is parked outside the venue. The car drives off down the chic Parisian street. Andy stares out of the window, a melancholy expression on her face, not looking at Miranda, who sits beside her.
You thought I didn't know. I've known what was happening for quite some time. It just took me a little while to find a suitable alternative for Jacqueline. And that James Holt job was just so absurdly overpaid that, of course, she jumped at it. So I just had to tell Irv that Jacqueline was unavailable. Truth is, there is no one that can do what I do, including her. Any of the other choices would have found that job impossible and the magazine would have suffered. Especially because of the list. The list of designers, photographers, editors, writers, models, all of whom were found by me, nurtured by me, and have promised me they will follow me whenever and if ever I choose to leave Runway. So he reconsidered.
Flashback of Irv looking at the list.
But I was very, very impressed by how intently you tried to warn me. I never thought I would say this, Andre. But I see a great deal of myself in you.
Andy turns and looks at Miranda.
You can see beyond what people want and what they need, and you can choose for yourself.
Andy frowns and shakes her head.
I don't think I'm like that.
Andy turns and looks out of the window.
I couldn't do what you did to Nigel, Miranda. I couldn't do something like that.
You already did.
The two women stare at one another.
To Emily. That's not what I... No, that was different. I didn't have a choice.
Oh, no, you chose. You chose to get ahead. You want this life? Those choices are necessary.
But what if this isn't what I want? I mean, what if I don't want to live the way you live?
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Andrea. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants to be us.
Miranda puts on a pair of large sunglasses, smiles at Andy, then steps out of the car. A swarm of photographers are waiting hungrily outside the entrance of a grand building. Andy gets out of the car and watches Miranda as she makes her way through the throng. Andy ponders for a moment, then turns and walks off in the opposite direction. Expecting Andy to be behind her, Miranda turns back to address her. She looks around in confusion, then sees her young assistant striding off across the road. Looking slightly perturbed, Miranda carries on inside. Andy walks towards an ornate green and gold fountain. It's Miranda. Andy throws the phone into the fountain. With a smile on her face, Andy strolls off along the Place de la Concorde, the Eiffel Tower just visible in the distance. The Manhattan and Brooklyn suspension bridges stretch across the East River, which flows through the endless sprawl of buildings that make up New York City. A casually dressed Andy is sitting in a coffee shop reading a newspaper. She looks up as Nate walks in and sits down in front of her.
I have to be at work in 20 minutes. What's up?
Well, I wanted to say that you were right about everything. That I turned my back on my friends and my family and on everything I believed in. And for what?
For shoes and shirts and jackets and belts and...
Nate.
Andy stares down for a moment, then looks at Nate earnestly.
I'm sorry.
Nate gazes into Andy's sad eyes, and a smile flickers across his lips. He leans back in his seat.
I flew up to Boston while you were gone. Interviewed at the Oak Room.
And?
And you're looking at their new sous chef. I'm moving up there in a couple weeks.
Great, congratulations.
Nate nods. Andy looks down wistfully.
I don't know what I'm going to do without those late night grilled cheeses, but...
I'm pretty sure they have bread in Boston. May even have Jarlsberg.
Andy smiles. Nate shrugs.
We might be able to figure something out.
She looks up at him.
You think?
Yeah.
Nate beams at her. Andy smiles back, then looks down coyly.
So, what about you? What are you gonna do now?
I have a job interview today.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're wearing?
Yeah, I like this.
Later, Andy walks through an office at the New York Mirror.
Andy, Greg Hill.
Hello.
Come on. These clips are excellent. This thing on the janitor's union, that's exactly what we do here. My only question is, runway? You were there for less than a year. What the hell kind of a blip is that?
Learned a lot. In the end, though, I kind of screwed it up.
I called over there for a reference. Left word with some snooty girl. Next thing you know, I got a fax from Miranda Priestley herself, saying that of all the assistants she's ever had, you were by far her biggest disappointment. And if I don't hire you, I am an idiot.
Andy gapes.
Must have done something right.
Andy leaves the offices of the Mirror. As she walks down a set of steps leading to the pavement, a smile spreads across her face. Dressed in smart jeans, a black polo neck and a brown jacket, and still wearing a large grin, Andy walks down a busy street. She looks up as she nears the imposing skyscraper that houses Runway Magazine. She takes a mobile phone from her bag and begins to dial.
Miranda Priestley's office.
Hey, Emily, it's Andy. Don't hang up. I have a favor to ask you.
You have a favor to ask of me?
Yeah, the thing is, I have all these clothes from Paris, and I don't have any place to wear them, so... I was wondering if you could take them off my hands.
Emily gapes in surprise, then composes herself.
Well, I don't know. It's a huge imposition. And I'll have to get them taken in. I mean, they'll drown me. But I suppose I could help you out. I will have Roy pick them up this afternoon.
Thanks, Emma. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Emily hangs up, looking genuinely touched. She allows herself a brief smile, then looks over at Andy's replacement.
You have some very large shoes to fill. Hope you know that.
Out on the street, Andy's smile fades as she sees Miranda leaving the building.
I don't understand why it's so challenging to get my car when I ask for it.
Miranda finishes talking on her mobile as a silver Mercedes pulls up. As Miranda, who's wearing large Jackie O-style sunglasses, makes to get into the car, she suddenly spots Andy standing across the street. The two women regard each other for a moment, then Andy smiles and raises her hand in a wave. Poker-faced Miranda removes her sunglasses and gets into the car. Andy grins, then carries on walking. Sitting in the back seat of her car, Miranda watches Andy striding confidently down the street. A smile slowly spreads across Miranda's face. She looks sternly at her driver.
Go.
Miranda rolls her eyes and slides her sunglasses back on. The Mercedes pulls out and drives away down the street, passing Andy, who flicks her hair and walks on in the opposite direction. As she crosses the wide street, Andy becomes just another New Yorker going about her business, as she's swallowed up in a sea of people.